Our scripture reading for this morning is very short, so I am just going to read it. Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it should come as no surprise to anyone that I enjoy a challenge, particularly a physical challenge. So when my mom called me up a couple months ago and asked if I wanted to do a 60-mile bike ride on my birthday weekend, I was like, sure, that sounds like fun. We biked out on Friday morning, and we did about 25 miles on Friday, and then on Saturday, we did 35 miles. We started in West Newton, and we biked to the Point. Before we rode out on Saturday morning, the person that organized the group did a little devotional with us and asked us to reflect on this question: what is it about the fall that is giving you anxiety? And instead of sharing with one another right then and there, they encouraged us to talk amongst ourselves on this, I think it took us 5 hour bike ride we had in front of us. I had the privilege of spending the first portion of the bike ride biking with a woman named Samantha. Samantha is an administrator at a nursing home, and she also has two little girls, and her oldest daughter, Ava, who is 7, is going to be starting first grade in the fall. So when I asked her what was making her nervous or anxious about the fall, she shared with me that she's really nervous about this Delta variant because both of her kids are too young to be vaccinated. But they absolutely, positively need to be in school in the fall. So one day, Samantha was driving Ava home from gymnastics class, and Ava asked Samantha, "Mommy, why do I have to wear a mask in gymnastics class? None of the other kids have to wear theirs." Samantha told me that she told Ava, "Honey, I hate to tell you this, but this won't be the last time that I expect more from you than your friends' parents do. See, my job as your mommy is to help you become a grown-up. And sometimes grown-ups have to do things they don't want to do. Because grown-ups have to be thinking about people other than themselves. Not just what they want to do. So yes, you have to wear your mask in gymnastics class because this helps you do your part to make sure that everyone in your class stays safe and healthy." I thought of Samantha's conversation with Ava as I read through our scripture reading for this morning, because the whole purpose of our scripture reading is to teach us what it means to live a wise life. As you know by now, we're in the second half of the letter to the church in Ephesus. The purpose of the first half of this letter was to teach us about this new humanity that Jesus won for us on the cross. Remember, there's no longer Jew and Gentile, but there is this one humanity called the children of God. So given this new humanity, given this new identity we have, what does it mean to live in this new identity? A few weeks ago, we talked about living into this new identity as living in community with one another. we talked a lot about how we treat one another that we're living in community with says a lot about the God we worship. In today's scripture reading, the author talks about what does it mean to live wisely, and he kind of focuses on two practices that will help us do that: discernment and worship. Discernment is learning to listen to that still small voice of God at work in our lives. And that small voice is often asking us to consider, who is Jesus? Who am I? And how do I get in on what God is doing at work in my life and in my community? Oftentimes we enter into periods of discernment when we feel that God is either calling us to something new or we're going through a transitionary period in our life. But we're not quite sure what that new thing or what that new transition is going to look like yet. So let's take, for example, the example of starting a new school year. Let's say you're the parent of a small child. Your goal in this next school year for your child is to help your child grow in their faith, but also help them become more independent. You've observed that the last school year was just brutal for your kid. Your kid hasn't had to share their toys with another kid for a year. Your kid hasn't attended a single birthday party that wasn't for her or her sister in a year. So even though it makes you nervous, you sign your kid up for gymnastics class because the inconvenience of her having to wear a mask is worth her learning how to share with other kids. The second part of wisdom is worship. Worship is an act of wisdom because it allows us to praise God for who God is, but also for what God did for us in Jesus. In worship, we are filled with the Spirit and open to the movement of the Spirit that we aren't so open to in other areas of our lives. Worship is also an act of wisdom because it is a communal experience. Scripture teaches us that when two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is present with us. As the scriptures are read, as the hymns are sung, as the word is proclaimed, we embody our belief that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is present. I feel most alive and most truly myself in worship, if that makes sense. No matter how bad my week has been, worship is this weekly reminder that God is at work in my life and in my community. Worship is also a weekly reminder of the dangers of kind of numbing ourselves to God. It's difficult to worship God when you have a hangover, or when you're jealous of someone else's outfit, or when you've spent the 15 minutes before church gossiping about someone you're in conflict with. The author of Ephesians asks us not to do these things because these things make it harder for us to do what we were created to do, to love one another, and also to worship God. I want to close our time together this morning with some reflections on gratitude, to live a life of gratitude, as the author really wants us to do. Particularly in the face of all that is wrong in the world, all the pain, all the need, all the just stupidity. This may seem to some people to be a very foolish way to live. And here is where I would like to suggest that God's wisdom may look a little bit like the world's foolishness. It is foolish to send your kid to gymnastics class with a mask on when none of the other kids have to wear one. That's just asking for your kid to throw an epic temper tantrum on the drive home from class. Unless you're trying to teach your kid that God's wisdom doesn't look like the world's wisdom. See, the world teaches us that we are the most important thing, what we want to do in any given moment. And if anyone disagrees with me, well, they can just go jump off a bridge. But God teaches us that the most important thing is to worship Him and to love one another. Sometimes that means wearing a mask to gymnastics class. Oftentimes, that means doing what is unpopular, hard, and uncool for the sake of the God we worship and those God loves. I shared Samantha and Ava's conversation with you this morning, not because I want to start a debate about masking, but because I think it does a good job of illustrating this higher standard that we're called to as Christians. We worship a God who literally died for us so that we might be better able to love one another and worship God forever. I want to kind of give you a practice or like a practical thing you can do this week as you're thinking about what it means to live a wise life, kind of not on Sunday morning. A practice that I've adopted that I have found very helpful is to look for what I call moments of hope in my week. So when I'm having a bad week and everything looks doom and gloomy and I'm just like, this is awful, I really have to train myself to look for moments where I see God at work in my life or in my community. Hope is this desire for a certain thing to happen, and it is usually a desire for a certain thing to happen in the face of difficulty. So my moment of hope this week came from a town hall meeting that I witnessed given by Arkansas Governor Hutchinson. Hutchinson is a Republican governor in a very conservative state. In April, when COVID cases were really low in Arkansas, he signed a law banning state and local mask mandates. Then the Delta variant ripped through his state. Now children under 12 are the most vulnerable group in his state because they can't yet be vaccinated. In his state, kids are now very sick, and they're taking up many, many beds in adult ICUs. And the problem is only going to get worse when they go back to school at the end of the month. And because of this law that he signed, schools are kind of caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of how to protect their kids. So this week, I think it was Tuesday, Governor Hutchinson went on TV and admitting that signing this ban on state and local mask mandates was a bit premature. It was an error to sign that law. I admit that, he said. Now he's working to amend the law so that school districts will have more options when it comes to the fall. But the more important part, I thought, was watching him do a town hall meeting in Arkansas. So basically, he showed up in a town and he had people sitting and they could ask him questions about why he was doing what he was doing. And people were a little bit heated. People had very strong opinions one way or the other on masks. And my moment of hope was when he was taking these questions and people were screaming at him, calling him names. Some people were talking nonsensically. He really treated everyone with dignity and respect. He listened to everyone. He offered as much information as he could. He let every single person that wanted to ask a question ask a question. He admitted when he fell short, and he admitted what he maybe wanted to do differently in the future. Friends, this is wisdom. Wisdom is saying that all of us are going to face adversity. We're going to face the unknown at some point in our lives. And how we respond to that adversity, that unknown, is what matters. When we mess up, and we will mess up, we apologize, we deal with the fallout, and we move on. But in everything we do as followers of Jesus, we strive to treat people with dignity and respect. Because the new world and the new humanity begun in Jesus is surely coming to pass. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.